No. Let's see. Show me some love, folks. Is this working or what? Because only Allah knows. Let me see if I can get the laptop working and then we'll know. It's live now. Oh yes, it is live. Yes, sick. What's that? Is the picture is okay? A little bit bent-ish. That will do. That will do. All right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak la nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'alta wa sahla. Wa anta tajul al-hazna idha shi'ta sahla. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatika ya Rabbil Kareem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. Good morning to all of, well, pretty much good morning to everybody. Except yani the masakin in Philippines and Malaysia who at last have got something at a semi-human time. Yeah, it's like nice evening time for them. So I pray that yani they take advantage of this and have a early night or get a full night's sleep for once. As for the folks in the UK, good morning slash afternoon, because obviously the clock's changed since I've been out. And so, 11 o'clock is pretty much afternoon now, isn't it really? And as for the folks in the States and Canada, if you're around, it's like time. Now you can taste what the Filipinos are going to get up to, huh? And what the Malays and the rest of the guys. But Baji Shakila, okay, our Auntie Shakila, Aunt Shakila, what time is it? That's what I want to know. I want to know what time it is in your neck of the woods. Hey, Marina. Let's give salam to everybody first. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all of you, to Junaid, to Faryal, to Maysara, the Malaysian who's not giving us the real deal, she's doing the fake one in the UK. Omar Habibi, why are you not at work, bro? And Nadia in Scotland. Last weekend I was in Scotland, or the weekend before? It's good to see you in Glasgow, Nadia. And Omar who came all the way. And Balu, how you doing? Saw you in Scotland as well. MashaAllah. And Nadia, let me say that I also agree. It was very nice to see her there. Dina, yes. You see, Dina is in Urdun. And for her, this is yani doable. Although, to be honest, yani 10 o'clock ain't that bad as well. Oh, Aisha. No, Aisha's in UK. Sorry, that was the UK Aisha. Okay. And Manchester's a bit damp, but Marina, being always the positive one, is saying it's refreshing Manchester. Qamar is there from Manchester. Sit guy. Roshan and Muhammad from Bradford, Aram. Shahzad Zia is working from home. That's how we like it. Amir was from Brum, good one. Hajar as well, mashallah. Oh, Widad is there. Widad, what time is it, Widad? What time is it? Good morning. Rabia also from Toronto. Hamza's there from Leeds. Sick guy. No one working. That's what I like to see. Nobody at work. All dossing. 6:10 a.m. Auntie Baji, well done. Auntie and Baji Shakila, well done. Well done. So let's start off with where we at. We're in, again, my ancestral home at the village, Barabande. And Barabande is in a village near Mingwara, which is seen as the capital of the district of Swat. And this is my father's home. And last time that we did this, I remember the reason I thought I'd give you this view is because last time we did, I think, the other view. I think. That's what I want to say. I think it was the other way around. But this way is the nice view in the morning. So sun is about to set. We've got about an hour before the sun sets. And it's coming down nice in the west over there. So it's setting there. In the morning, it's very, very nice to look out onto the mountains, of which on the other side is that famous part called Kalam. And there is actually a Rabia Saeed in Toronto. That's actually why Rabia. So the And that's in between that wall, basically, and those mountains is the River Swat, the Swat River, which is, subhanAllah, I went over it in a bridge the other day, completely dry. Not completely dry, but almost completely dry. Crazy. Oh, sugar. We did this view last time, but you tried to get us a mountain view at my request and got threatened at gunpoint. Usually, and you're trying to please the people, especially pushy Canadians, and then getting killed for it nearly. SubhanAllah. So this is, okay, then I should have done the other way. But you know what it is? This view is better because mum's here. And you know when mums are here, she's got her sewing machine out and she's got qapre everywhere and towels and ganbala everywhere. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be a nice mandar like it would like last time when I'm here. I'm the tidiest guy in my family, by the way. The rest are all bunch of slobs. All of them. 26,000 bottles of medicine and antiseptic and acid and blah, 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 blah. Forget that, bro. This view is much better. As for Marina, who obviously missed the memo on the LP chat, that's because she's matlab girl, she's focused, she gets things done as opposed to wasting time with the masses. This is not an orange tree. I actually wanted you folks to see this in fruit. My cousin's just popped off somewhere, otherwise I'm going to get him to bring us one of these. Persimmon, the persimmon fruit. Someone might want to do a Google there and find out whether it's persimmon. I don't know. But that's the name we're sticking with because the famous name of this fruit is the Sharon fruit. Sharon fruit. And I found out that the reason it's called Sharon fruit is because they associate it with the area that Ariel Sharon, the dog, alayhi la'natullah, is from. And apparently, this particular tree is very prominent in Palestine, but rather the Israeli-controlled areas, so Israel. So, but persimmon, is that the right one? Is that the right way I'm calling it, Mazita? Persimmon or is it persimmon? And do you know that it's actually known as Sharon fruit? Anyway, once I found out that, yani, those dogs were involved, so I refused to call it a Sharon fruit and let anyone else call it a Sharon fruit or Sharon fruit or whatever it is. We're sticking with the Gora sounding name, ancient Gora kind of name, persimmon, okay? And that's what Mazita thought as well. Actually, I have, alhamdulillah, we have many clementine trees in an orchard in our kind of like, you know, thingamajigs. Japani fruit. Yes, that's correct, by the way. That's what Qamar said, yeah, is that the in Urdu and Punjabi, they call it Japani fruit. Us in Pukhto, we call it Amluk. Amluk, Amrut, or Amluk? Like Amlukte, ka Amrutte. Amluko? I think it's Amluk. I think it's Amluk, we call it. Amlukte de Amlukwi? Amluko. Huh? The Yogdal Tinishte Chitamala Chitaraki? Rawala can you dago? Powerful fruit, they can dry your mouth faster than a vacuum, yeah? Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, Amrut is guava. Sorry, yeah. Amrut is not, it's not Amrut. That's what I was doubting, yeah? So I'm not a big fan of that whole kind of guava, blah, blah type of kind of flex. And so I actually am not a mega fan of the taste of this. But apparently it's really expensive. Yeah. And in Bangladesh, they call it khosh. Khosh. And they call it Japani fruit. I just went to my other cousin in front of me. He has a big one. And I think I'm going to bring some. Why not? I'm sure it travels well. Why not? Actually, does it travel well? I think it does, because I'm pretty sure that we had some in the kitchen, which my cousin's looking for. But, yeah, Japanese fruit, to you, huh? Punjabian, can I? Please, Shaz, please go and slap the chief, yeah, who's actually calling me, can you believe? Yeah? Calling me during a lesson. Allah ni qasam. Full besharam, full, yani, whatever. One thing, not being in a lesson. Second, yani, just unbelievable, actually. You know, anyway, so we got it. People are calling ka'ka fruit, maybe because that's an Arab pronunciation, maybe. But anyway, it's very sweet. I haven't had the guts to taste it because I don't. I think I'm a watermelon guy, 100%. That's as sweet as I go. Anyway, I'm going to bore you all, but I want to say to you that that's my famous tree over there. That's the naranj tree. Naranj is a word that doesn't have its equivalent in English. And it's a cross between, it's basically it's a green orange. So it's not a lime and it's not a lemon, but it's a really bitter type thing. It's great in drinks, but they don't eat it. So it goes quite bad. Only I'm the one who actually is the only one who uses it or has anything to do with it. But you know what? It does not taste like orange. Yeah, yeah, 100%. دا دا غن دا 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 شيء لك أسيت ببنك كده ده بخرابيجي كنا خرابيجي نا دو 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 من سوكم right so there's it looks like a tomato doesn't it it looks like a tomato and it's very solid like a good quality tomato right and you can see its texture and you can see me pressing hard on it and it's not even thinking دا خوراك تياري it's not ripe okay so this isn't ripe مهو تنه تبوسو كو تي دا خرابي كو تاوي نادا مطلب چي لا ها ها او دا right بصورة زيكي right so the thing about this is that if you take it like it is off the tree it will ripen in 15 days And so I can travel back with this. And so I am going to bring it back. And apparently right now this is not ripened. So it's not ready to have. But we're boycotting Sharon fruit name, okay? We're going to call it, if it's very ripe, then it doesn't travel well. See, Hajar knows the score. So it's going to be, it's something which I think that once it is not ripened in its current state, then it's going to be okay. All right, folks. So anyway, well, obviously we're enjoying ourselves, and but someone's going to complain and saying that was a lesson. What did we come here for? All right. And you know me, I'm not a guy to upset the masses. I just want to say, Alhamdulillah, it's nice to be out. I always say that I want to come more to Pakistan, but it's just the time doesn't permit. But inshallah, I'm going to change that. Expect a lot more online lessons from Pakistan. All right. Let's do our section today. New section, folks. The author, alayhi rahmatullah, Imam al-Hajjawi, He says, وَمِن سُنَانِهِمَا باب الجمعة, صلاة الجمعة. Okay. وَمِن سُنَانِهِمَا أَن يَخْتُبَ عَلَى مِنْبَرٍ أَوْ مَوْضِعٍ عَالٍ وَيُسَلِّمَ عَلَى الْمَأْمُومِينَ إِذَا أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ ثُمَّ يَجْلِسَ إِلَى فَرَاغِ الْأَذَانِ وَيَجْلِسَ بَيْنَ الْخُطْبَتَيْنِ وَيَخْتُبَ قَائِمًا وَيَعْتَمِدَ عَلَى سَيْفٍ أَوْ قَوْسٍ أَوْ عَصَى ويقصد تلقاء وجهه ويقصر الخطبة ويدعو للمسلمين. That's our Arabic text translation thereof. It is from the recommended Sunan in the two sermons to A, deliver it from a pulpit or a high up place. B, greet the believers with salam when he faces them. And then to sit down until the adhan has been completed. So that could have been, you know, B and C there. Yeah, again, this is why you don't memorize numbers, memorize points. So again, the second point, let's do it as 1, 2, 3. I've done it as A to H. But number one, deliver it from a pulpit or a high up place. Number two, greet the believers with salam when he faces them. And then to sit down until the adhan has been completed. Number three, sit down in between both of them. Number four, stand when delivering each one. Number five, lean on a sword or a bow or a staff. Number six, to face ahead. Number seven, to keep it short. And number eight, supplicate for the Muslims. Supplicate for the Muslims. Okay, folks. So that's our chapter today. Alhamdulillah, we're finished with all of the you know, the conditions and things. And now we're into like some kind of, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but I have just felt my heart lightened and found it easy to, you know, to enjoy this kind of easy stuff. So, قوله رحمه الله ومن سننهما أن يخطب على منبر. So the statement of the author and from its recommended matters, from its sunan, right, are the first one is to make the khutbah from the minbar. المنبر على وزن مفعل من النبر. So the word itself, the original word is nabar. And nabar means to raise. And some said raise something or raise your voice. Yani the scholars of the language said that nabar is when something is high pitched, high in status, high in sound, high in location. That's yani something which is nabar. And the mif'al, right, is the from the Arabic point of view, is the mif'al is how it's being used. So nabar in mif'al is mimbar, and it basically means something which is high up. So it is Persimmon, not Simon. So that's good, got that right. And the tree would have gone down, yeah? Yeah, it is meant to be quite sweet, actually. Right, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to, and this is a good reminder, obviously when we're in the Umrah programs, in the Hajj ones, by the way, Hajj getting very close, very, very close. Make sure that you tell all your folks to get registered on the Telegram group, which is on the Hajj website. Do we do it in Hajj? Yes, we do. We do cover it in Hajj. But it's just obviously a bit busier in Hajj, a lot more people. But the incident of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his minbar is an important one to understand. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to Medina, actually the number of Muslims is not very many. And the size of the masjid is not very big. And the people that he's giving khutbah to, they're not all right in front of him as well. There's still quite a lot of houses around. I want to say that the place is very enclosed. And it being enclosed means that the, you don't need to raise your voice so much. And also, you know, the believers are in Quba and out in the, in the sticks and stuff. We haven't really turned this into a proper stronghold. Yep. And there's a lot of non-Muslims surrounding the area as well. And so it was quite okay for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to speak on a level of the people. So they're sitting or standing, and he's standing. And, you know, like right now, you know, I don't need a speaker, for example, and I could speak to a whole lot of people here easily. And there was an early tree, young tree, I should say. More than a sapling. Well, I don't know what a sapling technically is, by the way. I don't think a sapling is necessarily a young tree. But anyway, the point is that it was not very big. Yeah, Annie, you would have thought that it's like about that size without the thing at the top, without the branches and the rest of it. So the holding that for kind of almost like kind of support and whatever, which also goes to show how simple the masjid was, right? Wasn't carpeted, bit of hay on the floor, and the like. And what then happened is that now that it was clear that the Prophet ﷺ is safe and establishing things in Mecca, in Medina, sorry, the hijrah started on force. Now a lot of the remaining Muslims started to come out and tribes started to come in. And the Prophet ﷺ realized that the influx was a significant influx. And now the number of people are increasing. The masjid now needs to be extended, and its size now being made a bit bigger. And then he realized that he needs to be higher because there's so many people. Higher so that he can see them, higher so that they can hear him, because that's going to spread the sound more. It's interesting, it'd be interesting to look at whether, technically speaking, when you're speaking at a level and there's no items, whether that carries a sound more versus if it's being muffled by people. Certainly when we use the radio systems in our programs, in our tours and stuff, that definitely proves to be true, just on a radio wave kind of angle. You've got you find that amongst a group of people, the transmission on the radio doesn't go very far. Whereas if I'm standing high, then the transmission is going. So there is something to be said about physical objects getting in the way of sound waves. So being high is definitely going to make your sound go louder. And that's obviously why for an age. Everybody's been shouting out from the cloud, from the clock tower, from the town hall tower, from a minara when it comes to the Muslims, etc., because it sends a noise. Anyway, so clearly he needs to now deal with more people and make it louder. And so he asked one of the Ansari women, and there's some discussion whether the Ansari woman put it forward herself or whether he requested it. Some scholars actually said that he requested it, which is kind of a change of narrative. But anyway, he requested that one of them who was connected to a carpenter. Tarkan. Yeah. So, to make him a member, and a member was made of three steps, very simple, and it was brought for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then the first khutbah that he gave, as Sheikh Uthaymeen said, in the first khutbah that he gave, the tree itself started to moan and groan and cry, but with that sobbing sound, you know, that kind of can't breathe sound, you know, where like kids have, you know, like that. And which is like the sound that a young camel makes. And he then came down off the minbar that he was on. This is only the first time that he used it, because the tree itself realized that that was the end of it being in contact with the Prophet ﷺ. It was being held by the Prophet ﷺ all the time, right? I tell folks in Umrah and in Hajj that when people go and attack or abuse people who are tree huggers, for example, or those who are activists for the climate, against climate change or for the environment, then they're also abusing and attacking the Prophet ﷺ, who was the original tree hugger, which we see as a very negative kind of, you know, phrase or funny phrase, tree hugger. You know, when we were young, we used to call hippies that, tree huggers, right? And it's interesting, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then consoled it, and it stopped crying, and it stopped, I think, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the companions all heard it very loud, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then told them. That, in fact, here we have, thank you, Fari, hadith of Jabir in Bukhari. So here in this narration, an Ansari woman said that, Ya Rasulullah, shall I make something for you to sit on? I have a slave who is a carpenter. And he replied, if you wish. So you can see that the reason that I mentioned this point is because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't want to necessarily be, what I want to say is that he didn't want to be the one that's insisting on one and demanding one. Kind of is wanting it to happen without, you know, using, let the people use their initiative, use your own brains and work out what's happening. And, you know what I mean. Avoid the awkwardness, also not put himself into a position where to a new community he's making demands and things like that. You know what I'm saying? So the carpenter then got that made. And when he sat on the pulpit, the date palm stem. See, the word stem is used, but it wasn't just a stem. It was quite high. The date palm stem. The meaning of sapling is a young tree, but specifically not one over 4 inches in diameter. Oh, so then it's not a sapling then. Then it's definitely not a sapling, right? Because that's not correct then, if you say 4 inches. 4 inches is nothing, right? No, it came, he was holding it here. So we have to stop using the word sapling, and then we're sapling, and we have to use the Arabic that I know is just in nakhla. And what is the word here? Nakhla. Yeah, so the other versions of the hadith do mention the stem. That's why it's translated as stem, even though here it says an nakhla. Okay, an nakhla. Let me just carry on with the hadith 1 second, folks. An nakhla, an nakhla, and then again. Yeah. It doesn't mention the... it doesn't mention anything else. Exactly. You see, it's in between a tree stump and it's... But it's very young, so it's still kind of growing. So a young tree, small tree, is the way to understand it, okay? And it cried so much that it was about to burst. The Prophet ﷺ came down from the pulpit to the stem and embraced it, and it started groaning like a child being persuaded to stop crying. And then it stopped crying, and the Prophet ﷺ, it has cried because of missing what it used to hear of religious knowledge. As I said, this was. There are a number of narrations about it, that he gave the explanation that it would have carried on until the Day of Judgment, the variation in the one that I don't want to kind of go too forward whilst it's, and this one says al-jidr, yani the stem. And there are, like I said, different versions that speak about it. Well done, Fariyad. So this is a sunnah in emulation of the Prophet ﷺ. He never at any stage did he tell anyone that you need to stand. And that's where there's discussion on these points. That he never said that you have to have a minbar per se. But this is what he had made and this is what he done. And he never stopped doing it. And the actions of the believers has always been upon that. There is a consensus of the action of the believers on it. It's not like it's something which is going to be found via direct narration or whatever. And Sheikh Uthaymeen says, and the reasons for this is obvious, because the sermon will become more dominant and more clear and more loud and more obvious. People won't struggle to hear it, and more people will be able to benefit as well. Also, when you're that higher up, you're able to watch the people, see the people, and keep them under manners as well, because people start taking liberties, as you know. I told you guys last week about the guy that was on his phone in the front row, and I think I told you about Danish. Did I tell you guys the story about Danish? Danish said that he came to the khutbah to give the khutbah. Yeah, I did tell you, yeah. And the guy was reading, he bought him a newspaper or something, or magazine or something. Can you imagine that? So obviously, you want to keep an eye on people, and you want to look at them, and make it personal, and everything that's coming up in a minute. And there's no doubt, and subhanAllah, just look at this point. ولا شك أن تأثر السامع إذا رأى المتكلم أكثر من تأثره وهو لا يراه. يعني when you think about the what Sheikh Uthaymeen says, he goes, there's absolutely no doubt that a person is going to be more affected by the person that he can see speaking than just listening to a voice. 100%. And that's why I've always said to men, you guys need to just taste what it's like to be a woman. Right? Honestly, they you know, I've always said this. And not because I necessarily care too much what the women think. Unfortunately, I should do a lot more. But the truth is the truth, and it's got to be said. It's horrible being a woman amongst in any kind of aspect of society, frankly, right? And they have to punch above their weight. I've spoken about this a lot. Protect This House guys coming soon. I got the message yesterday. November 4th, make sure all the people that you know on the planet sign up to that and watch it and study it, okay? Because it's all about this issue and all these issues. When it comes to understanding how we should interact with women in their strong moments and weak moments, there should always be an underlying base that you start with as a male. As a scholar or as a qadi, they've got that down. They know it very well because they see it so often, right? But as a male dealing with women, you know, it is important that you know about menses. It is important that you know about hormonal changes. It is important that you know that we're not talking something which is down to her choice. There are chemical changes that are occurring in her body that affect mood. We're not even talking a blag here. Yeah, there might be some women that might take the liberties with it, but at its default state, women are in a disadvantaged state a lot of the time, like physically disadvantaged, and that also then means psychologically disadvantaged, mentally disadvantaged, and now we should say spiritually disadvantaged, right? When in our societies and communities, they don't get to ever receive a reminder except from their own people. Like the women around here, they've never been to the masjid. Like ever. There are women that live here next to the masjid. They live next to the masjid. The paband wakke. Like a kolowo. Oh, that was sapa wajamani, the pressure pa wajamani. Nah, pressure matla midari chila ka khalak pe laka dear laka ligiao pe laka mor me laka which it die out the die out the mukta. Tik sha khoda laka da nur siri wali nakai. The pulse that upna laka wata oe che tasu za bozam swan de pedaki. Never. Correct. So not even for Eid Salah. Akhtab muskum nishtikana. Bro, not even. Let me tell you what my cousin just said. So our masjid is just here. You know what it was? We should have even done it from the masjid. We could change the time and do it from there, but anyway. So the masjid is literally at 1 minute or 30 seconds, and it's the masjid of this area, and it's quite a big mosque, okay? And it's been there for years, and even before then, there was something little or whatever. The women that have been living here for 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, not a single one of them has ever been to the masjid, right? And then obviously, my dad is absolutely a product of his community, 100%, yani, you know, Taliban squared, yeah, extremist hardcore, yani completely whatever. You know that when you see your parents like here, you see them in a different light. I'm looking at my parents right now, and I realize that my seriousness and my harsh side and my serious side, and like, you know, I don't like to mess about when I'm by myself, is definitely from my dad. And all of my haramitub, you know, haramitub, kind of cheekiness, all that banter, completely from my mom. Completely from my mom, right? She's a complete waste man, she is, yep. All the time, dossing about, laughing, joking, whatever, all my mom. So, any opportunity she can pull the wool over somebody's eyes, she'll do it. Today she'd pull the absolute killer black. She's gone on her jollies for 5 days. Can you imagine I come for like a few days and she's gone for 5 days? 5 days using the blag of her niece's wedding. So what? Anyway, my dad goes, yeah, I know I'm getting done over here. My dad's not interested in letting any woman in the masjid. However, my cousins told me that there was... My dad said 20 years ago, after my mum was giving it all the moaning and the groaning, you lot, you know, all you lot. Obviously, when you've been in the UK for a little while, you start putting a bit of pressure on, isn't it? So she's obviously said to my dad, you lot never showing us what the masjid looks like. We've got no idea what you made. And so he then took his sister. Sok sok uze adi shikana. Oh, bobona. So he took his sister-in-law, his wife, and he took his other sister-in-law, and he took his nieces, basically. Yeah, like his nieces. And he took them all, and he took them at midnight. Midnight. And they went into the masjid for the first and only time in their life to see what it feels like. I want you to imagine growing up like that. Amiro mentions, you know, about his grandmother and about our lady. And this is why I speak about in Protector's House, that women are spiritual animals. Imagine what level they would be on if they had regular reminders, if they did attend masajid, or rather, get to see some more direct iman kind of results or resources, and also not, you know, having to suffer pain inside and all the rest of it. Time in a month, blah, 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 blah. Just imagine if they were on a level playing field, right? Now, there could be some counter arguments to that as well. First of all, the reason I mention this, and again, I'm kind of going into Protector's House mode, is that this means that when a woman is disadvantaged, a man has got to be to the level of that disadvantage that much more patient. So if a woman, as the hadith said, the naqisatul aql, naqisatul deen, right? And so even though it doesn't technically say 50%, but let's assume that they're at 50% capacity, then by definition, a man operating and expecting a woman to understand what he says is just zulm all the time. It's just, he's doing zulm all the time because he should know that the Prophet ﷺ told him that the woman is on a 50% level decrease. So therefore, you've got to either decrease, or rather you've got to double up your patience level, or your clarity, or your understanding, or your tolerance. This is very, very important when it comes to relationships. It's really, really important. It's a really fundamental point that people don't understand. But anyway, I don't want to go into Protector's house. But the point is that there is an argument that one of the reasons why they are so spiritually strong is that they create a fortress for themselves, because they are so shunned, and because they are so so little exposed to that side, and they don't, their minds are not they're not shifted into the lands of the dunya and fitna of an external side. Now, this is actually a really important point here, guys, right? Because if you think about it, that means that they don't get then a lot of experience of people coming and going. They don't get to see lots of transactions and the like, and we spoke about that. No, I spoke about that in art, actually, about the two witnesses, two female witnesses, and why a woman is likely to err, more likely to err when it comes to financial contracts and observing them than compared to a man. When she's not even seen a financial contract in her entire life. She hasn't even been out to see a masjid in her entire life. What is she going to know about flipping debt contracts and God knows what, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, knowing that. And also, when a woman is alone, her level of knowledge is not as much, but she has lesser, more fundamental principles, and she doubles down on those. That's what the women do. And that's a blessing. The reason that we benefit so much, because we look at these people, them praying all day, speaking in very simple terms, put the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just imagine how many times you've spoken to elders or your parents or whatever, and they say, just give sadaqah. Like, well, what's the issue here? Give sadaqah and you know, thank Allah. Or, I don't understand what the problem is. Put your trust in Allah. Allah will get it done. And you're like, we are all so cynical. We're like, man, you're so miskeen. You're so dumb. You don't get it. There are so many parameters. There are so many got complex issues here, whatever. And did you see how we turn away from tawakkul? Because, you know, and it might be that if she was more exposed to the dunya, she'd become more cynical as well. And the elders would become more cynical as well. And they'd be trying to, you know, give some kind of complex explanation to something which is really simple. Just trust in Allah and that's it. Their deen is really simple. And here's the one thing that, whether you disagree with me or agree with me, that it might be like a positive to just being away from masjid, away from people, away from whatever, you know, that's debatable, yeah? I agree that there's pros and cons. You know what we can't debate? That virtually every scholar that ever was made a dua, oh Allah, allow us to die upon the religion of the old women. What do they mean by that? Because they keep the deen simple, they don't get involved in controversies, they don't faff around in the not important stuff, they get important stuff done. They serve, yani, their houses, their husbands, their family, their kids. They don't have aspirations and careers and ladders and corporate bloody blah blah blah, and they benefit from it. And ultimately, when people look back on their lives, and I dare say a lot of women will look back on their lives as well, you know, having achieved the corporate dreams or the middle class life, whatever, and wish I could have kept it as simple, like my grandparents or whatever. Who knows? But I'm just saying. We have absolutely, definitely overcomplicated things, and there could be a balance which should be probably more of an objective. But anyway, I hope you get the point. So anyway, it's the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Should we ask, enter stage right, the main protagonist in this issue. Ya Khana, Asalaamu Alaikum. Asalaamu Alaikum. Asalaamu Alaikum. Bikhair Ali. خلق واری چې ووري ستانه چې تا دا جمعه چې تا جوړ کړو سو کال مخکې جوړ کړو okay there's a dad yani first of all he said I didn't make the mosque Allah made it okay we're getting all religious for ha listen how many years ago did you start making it No, there's more than 20, man. 25 years. 25 years, huh? Okay. Ta yoraz.
It's
What's it got to do with them? They want to know, that's why.
Who is it?
my dad said, who is it?
Who is it?
It's only one person. It's only one person. Yeah, yeah. Listen, it's a, who is it on the line? Daga, you've thrown me now. Who is it? Chita jorko, ta wile ta khaze ta bot lal jumata. Why did you take the women to the mosque?
I did not take any.
The woman goes, I did not take any women to the masjid. My dad is completely denying it. Like a badger pro, not me, I didn't do it. Yes. By the way, you should be happy.
No, I should be happy if I did.
Huh?
But I haven't.
Oh, you don't want to you don't want to take the credit for it, is what you're saying.
I might show them the video, yes.
Huh?
But not physically taking the
woman. You can't remember.
Into the masjid.
Huh?
Maybe somebody else did.
Huh?
By my name.
By your name? You mean to ask your permission?
I mean that, yeah. Allah says take the woman and show them the masjid.
Tan tapos ko mo so. Abi chera kana no 70 years, 80 years. This is another khuzi dele kana. For life, ki jumata chatatelewa, other than haram, I mean.
No.
Never.
No.
So 70 years she's here in this house right here.
She
didn't even used to go to weddings either. Yeah. But she never left the home.
No.
But did she ever see a masjid?
I don't think so.
In her whole life.
I don't think so.
Is this fair?
Why are you asking me all this?
You lot are gonna get me in trouble, man.
Who is that person?
Eh? Come.
Who is that person asking all these silly
questions? Yeah, asking such silly questions. Look, this person here.
Which person?
This person. Can you see this person here?
This person is this person.
Yeah, no, they're asking silly questions from you. Look at this person.
This person is this person. Who is on there listening?
Oh, my goodness. Ha, listen, Abaji. What do you think that we make a women's section at the back?
I was thinking about it, but not in
Don't give me that you were thinking about.
Listen. There was a girls' section there. The girls used to go there.
Yeah.
For Quran, yes? Calendar time.
Janake Batlekana, the Quran da para. Yeah. The child that tarapa wema. Oh, you're kidding. Matlab laka ala kanuna.
I was thinking to have a section for a woman.
The munz da para.
Munz da para, ma daras da para.
Yeah.
Quran daras da para. Munz da para ma na dera. Ma usil da daras da para.
Ha. Zada da munz da para wem.
The Quran daras da para.
Munz da para.
I don't think. It won't work.
Yeah. He's right. No, I agree with you. It wouldn't work. Let me tell you the situation here, guys. And
guys,
this is...
This means, guys, it's not one.
My dad goes, guys, you mean there's not one person? No, Abaji, it's got quite a few people, bro. It's quite a few people. It's okay. No, he's gone now. So, it's very interesting, subhanAllah, what he said. He goes, actually, I was always planning for there to be a girl section, but not for Salah. But for the... Because it has a madrasa upstairs and there's boys of all ages that are sitting there, studying there all the way through the day, afternoon, blah blah blah, and they started basically the girls kind of section, and in one of those times, one of the boys messed around with one of the girls, you know, irritated her, whatever. I don't think anything serious happened, but basically, you know, whatever, and that was it. People kicked off something chronic and the whole thing was closed down. So girls are now all taught by going around to whoever has got teaching ability, then they go to their houses. When I say teaching ability, it's minimal. Like my mum, for example, here, most of her day when she's here, you find a whole load of girls basically sitting with her reading Qaeda and basic, you know, alif-ba-ta kind of behavior. My mum is very, very simple. Quran knowledge, and she'll be teaching them all day, different girls coming, and that's how they get educated, a very basic level. But then my dad said, as for the salah place, that he never thought of it and wouldn't be able to get away with it. He's used to it himself, because obviously the rest of his family are obviously, you know, they are who they are, but the rest of the community wouldn't do it. Anyway, so to continue then, also, we know what, something I was thinking about, that they said that you should, you know, that is going to have a bigger impact. So, you know, I wanted to continue this, that therefore, men should realize, put themselves in the thing. And I made this announcement once in the Taraweeh that happened in Shiro Masjid. I said to them that, you know, how horrible it is to listen off a speaker and depend upon that when the speaker keeps cutting out. And when the masjid was about to, or before it opened up, they went through a lot of work and the men had to go through that. And it was cutting out, the speaker was cutting out all the time and they were moaning so much. And I went up to the microphone and I go, you've tasted the only 1 minute of what happens to these women in nearly every single prayer, where they don't know what salah, what takbir, what raka'ah, what ruku'ah, what not, whatever, what not. They were moaning so much. And I said, this is my chance to slap them all down. And I did, 100%. And I remember the first time when I went to ISNA in Toronto, ISNA Masjid, and I saw for the first time this concept, which I haven't seen in any other masjid back then. That was about 10, 15 years ago, which was the way that the divider is only this high, right? So if a woman's praying, you can see her praying, but when she's sitting down, you can't see her sitting down. I thought, this is so weird. Then, but I say it's so weird because I've just not seen that barrier. Otherwise, you know, either have a barrier or don't have a barrier. Then I thought to myself, you know what, if women just want to sit, relax and chill, you know, lay back like that, then they're kind of covered. And if women, you know, and if they're praying, then most of the time the men are going to be praying anyway. So I thought, you know, this isn't such a bad idea. Certainly better than having a full barrier. And the point was, is that seeing that whilst they're sitting down, they could fully see the khatib. Because I was giving the khutbah that day, actually. And I remember being able to see every single woman. Every single woman, because of my position. And the barrier meant that no man could see any of the women. For myself, that's a really interesting kind of design. This is the one that Ala Sayyid used to be imam of. I don't know whether he still is or not. The reason I want to make this a point is for two reasons. Number one, we should make absolutely every single bit of effort in all of our classes and lessons and khutbahs and salah and everything that women are able to be an active part of the congregation and not just be in the boiler room, in the second floor basement, whatever. They've got to have some kind of line of sight. They've got to be some kind of way that they feel connected, not just theoretically connected. There's also a shari'i point as well. There is a real shari'i argument to say that a woman in a room is not part of the sufuf. Like, you know, they are meant to be at the back. And at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was no barrier. And today's arguments that, you know, no, the fitna, blah, 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 it doesn't stand. People have got to deal with their fitna and their desires, right? But anyway, it doesn't have to be obviously changing the whole thing and breaking, causing fitna. You can use TV screens. And the recent, for example, a lot of masajid now use TV screens. Every masjid can use a TV screen. Now with wireless transmission, now Chido, they spent some stupid money and now they've got the ability to show the prayer at different angles, you know, to the women now. So that works as well. And exactly, look, you can many masajid are doing this now. I've started to see, you know, that's the first thing. The second thing that I thought of, and obviously we're going to develop this further, is that opinion about using modern techniques to make the khutbah more impactful. That there is a basis in investigating these different techniques based upon the fact that the Prophet ﷺ gave the khutbah from a high place. Because if he didn't do it from a high place, so why did he do it from a high place? In order for them to understand it better, enjoy it better, get a better view, get a better sound, get a better whatever. You see my point? There was an actual effort to make the khutbah more effective. That's clear now from hadith, right? Otherwise, just give it on the floor and make people strain. So if you're now going, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to speak loud and I'm going to shout, as we're going to come to, and I'm not going to, by the way, I can also be seen by everyone if I sit down on the pulpit, isn't it? But I'm going to stand on the pulpit. So everything is aimed at making the sermon more effective. So what if today we are able to find ways making it more effective? How far should we go using that same principle, and what is the limits? And so I think we've already well gone into that. So that's the reason why we give the khutbah in English, because of this, because the Prophet ﷺ stood on the minbar, is the evidence for giving the minbar in the khutbah in English, because that's obviously going to hit home harder. That's why we use the microphone, and we should use the microphone to make it louder and keep people engaged and whatever. That's also why we should have technology that allows the picture to be spread as far as possible, and for that we should invest in speakers outside for the latecomers, so that it's not just a case that, you know what it is, the latecomers pray outside and we have a mukabbir, you know, the guy who goes, Rabbana wa laka alhamd, Allahu Akbar, you know, after the imam, because they can't hear because the speakers are inside. No, what a person who's come late has basically said, well, you know what, I've come late, alhamdulillah, I'm going to be able to pray because there'll be a guy who's going to repeat the takbirs of the imam outside, but I don't need to hear the khutbah. And that's why, as a person who's come late to khutbah many times, you see that outside everybody's just chatting because they can't hear or it's very low sound. So masajid should actively invest in speakers outside, again, because the Prophet ﷺ stood on the minbar and wanted to make the khutbah more effective. Likewise, the translation systems in a place where the khutbah is being given in Arabic. And so masajid should offer something where they say that there'll be a channel where the khutbah will be translated, use your own Bluetooth thingies, it'll be on Telegram channel, blah, blah, it'll be consecutive. Or in those places that can afford it, there's the headsets. So a person comes in and they pick it up just like they pick up the hats, you know, from those things. Pick up a headset for those people who don't understand Arabic and put it on and listen to it and the like. And then the real kind of question is the next step, which I've got to say, I don't think is necessarily the massive haram kufr behind the thing that it is, which is to have presentations, to have a visual form of being able to present the message. My only reservation against that is that we've got to be careful not to take the focus off the person and make it too much onto the technology. It's got to be kept simple. It's got to be kept short. It can't be turning into a lesson. The khutbah is not meant to be a dars. The khutbah is not meant to be a political analysis. The khutbah is meant to be 5-10 minutes of wham, bam. Yeah? It's meant to be really effective, strong, well said, in a very assertive way, as we're going to come to next week, the way that the Prophet's veins were popping, right? Eyes would go red. Face, it would be alert. Voice raised and the like. There's got to be a balance in between going towards presentations to present an idea and the like versus a balance basically that's needed. Anyway, think about that. Also, وَلِهَذَا كَانَ مِنْ هَدْيَ الصَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَلَى مَا ذُكِرَ أَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا خَطَبَ اسْتَقْبَلُوهُ بِوُجُوهِهِمْ. There are a number of narrations. None of them are authentic as a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, but there are a number of athar from the Sahaba that indicate that they would always turn their direction in the khutbah towards the Prophet ﷺ when listening to the khutbah in Jum'ah. And it's very important that we all do that in masajid, that we don't sit in prayer lines. Now, this again is a problem because remember for what we've been saying over the last few weeks, that people kind of go into a shell, into kind of like, and turn it into a salah kind of process, which is why in the first part, when the imam stands up, he goes, in alhamdulillah, nahmadahu wa nasta'inu, he's the people who are sitting down, they start like this. And then when he starts the second one, then they sit like that, right? They kind of take it into a salah zone, and that's why they stay in their prayer lines, and they sit in the prayer lines, and it all becomes the very kind of mechanical. And actually, what we're saying is you've got to forget the prayer lines, have the people all over the place, and you've got to have the people turn to the imam. You mustn't be in the way of the qibla, but rather you should be pointing towards the imam and looking towards the imam. That's showing you, as you showing the imam respect, that you're interested. I mean, I find it bizarre that imam is speaking there, he's right there speaking to the people, and you're like here, and sitting in front of the thing, you're not even looking at the imam. It's like weird. It's like unnatural, against the sunnah. And when I say sunnah, we can't say Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that because the hadith are on it are not authentic, as you can see at the bottom. That Imam al-Tirmidhi says لا يصح في هذا الباب عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شيء. There's not a single authentic thing from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this entire issue, but from the Sahaba, yes, there is. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and other of the companions, they very clearly would turn, and they would tell others to turn as well. Get yourselves ready, and turn to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, what's interesting for me, in something like Chido Masjid, which is a long, thin masjid, right? It's wide and thin, doesn't have depth. And so therefore, you can't see the imam when you're at that end or that end at all. But they've got TV screens. And should you therefore position yourself towards a TV screen, even though theoretically the imam can be seen, yeah, I think that's okay. I think that you should position yourself to the TV screen and give your attention to the TV screen like a person who's watching it properly. And if you can do that whilst also kind of turning towards the imam as well, while showing that you're focused on the message, that you're showing interest, I think this is good. So Sheikh Uthaymeen says that so this is what the companions used to do, because this used to make them feel more presence in soul and spirit, and also to benefit more from the khutbah itself. So that's important. We should all strive to do that. Also, Sheikh Uthaymeen says that the ulama, they said that when a person's on a member, the member that should be made should always be to the right hand side of the musalla, the area that the imam will pray in. Call it the mihrab if there is, you're in a masjid. And if you're outside in the open, for example, then it should be on the right hand side of where the imam's going to pray, if we're looking towards the qibla. So if I'm looking towards the qibla and the imam is praying in front of me, the minbar should be on the right hand side. And the reason that they said that is because, firstly, that was the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and second, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come down the stairs, he would always then turn right. And to turn, you know, when it comes to doing moves, there's always a focus on preferring the right. So instead of turning left, it's better to turn right, you know? So we've got an opportunity now to move to the right-hand side, or to step first the right, or offer the right hand. Everything that you do with the right and dominate with the right, even in the non-religious things, is a good thing. And so turn to the right to take the salah position, all right? All right. Then our author says that if not upon the minbar, then أو موضعين عالٍ, يعني then on something which is high. So if you can't find a minbar, then anything, even if it's like a mound of earth or like a pile of earth, or a chair or whatever, so that you can be clear and obvious in front of the people. And this is obviously going to make your voice carry further, and it will make يعني your connection with the khutbah more empathetic, and you yourself will feel better as well giving it. Excuse me. Right. And then the author, he said, عليه رحمة الله ويسلم على المأمومين إذا أقبل عليهم, and he gives the salam to the people who are he's leading in salah once he faces them. So Sheikh says that it is a sunnah that when you get onto the minbar, that you face yourself towards the people who are the audience, the attendees, and you give salam. So you basically, the khatib should come in, walk up, and you know, everybody should be doing whatever they're doing. They're talking, they're reciting, they're making dhikr, they're whatever, whatnot. Everyone's yani doing whatever they're doing. And then the imam comes in, and when the imam comes in, you carry on. When the imam goes onto the minbar, you carry on. Then the imam then turns round, and he faces the people, and he gives salam. And that is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, and this is what some people consider to be a sunnah. Some of the salaf said no, actually. Some of the salaf said that no, it's not a sunnah to do this on the minbar, but rather if he enters into the masjid and gives salam to the people there and then this is sufficient, right? This is sufficient. And this is what some of the salaf used to be upon, and that you don't give salam upon the minbar, that there's no evidence for that. But rather he would give salam to the people as he would normally, and when he walks into salah, assalamu alaikum, people would give salam, wa alaikum salam, people were praying, they'd give the ishara, etc., etc., etc. And so therefore, you don't do it. However, our class position is that you do give it. As Sheikh Uthaymeen says, he goes, there are two salams, right? He says that there's the first salam, which he might give when he walks through the door and some people see him, or he greets them, or you know, someone asks him specifically, and he gives them salaam alaikum, hey, salaam alaikum, all right? Or he just says salaam alaikum to everyone because they're not seeing him and they're all sitting down. Then that's a salaam which is to specific people, and that's in front, and that's a general sunnah. And then the second salaam is the actual salaam of the member, on the member itself, before the mu'adhin does anything. Sheikh says, importantly, he goes, this has been narrated from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This has been narrated from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he turned and he gave salam upon the people. This is why the Salaf didn't like this, because the hadith is weak. Actually, every hadith that's been narrated is weak. And if you look at what the Muhaqqiq says, he says that this is narrated by Ibn Majah, the fact that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went onto the minbar and gave salam to the people. This has been narrated by Ibn Majah in the book of Establishing the Prayer and the Sunnah that are in that, and that which is has been narrated about the Khutbatul Jum'ah, and also narrated by Imam al-Bayhaqi in the hadith of Jabir. The hadith in Ibn Majah, by the way, is 1109, the hadith of Jabir. And in the chain of this hadith of Jabir, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu an, is Ibn Lahi'a. Ibn Lahi'a, of course, is a famous narrator that's considered to be weak when it comes to religious narrations, history, something else. Also narrated by Tabarani and Al-Bayhaqi elsewhere, and it has a narrator by the name of Isa ibn Abdullah, and he is da'if as well. Lisan al-Mizan of Imam al-Dhahabi has these narrations made clear. So anyway, so Sheikh Uthaymeen says that even though that it's weak, the hadith, but the ummah has agreed upon this. This is an action that the ummah has agreed upon, and it is well known that the khatib, when he gets onto the minbar, if you turn around, give salams to the people, and this is the general salam. This is the general salam. Okay, folks, we're going to call it there, I think, because just to give you time for some questions on anything, if you want, because I believe that the, because I think the sun has set, because I can feel from the amount of dark that I can see that it seems like it's set. And that means that it's going to the adhan is going to go, and when the adhan goes, then here we have very little time. You know, let me tell you something. They give the adhan and the iqama so quickly, and as you know, in Qatta Hanafi kind of areas, especially kind of more Diobandi flex, that the imam, the muadhin is going qad qamatis salat, qad qamatis salat. I'm the imam, okay. قَدْ قَامَتِ السَّلَاةِ قَدْ قَامَتِ السَّلَاةِ. The guy behind is saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Akbar. That's the imam, right? The imam just goes straight into thingy. The guy hasn't even finished, yani, La ilaha illallah, and thingy. And listen to this. I'm telling you now. I'm going to make shikayat now, okay? Although my dad is not hearing this now. He should hear it, but can't shout it. The loud prayers, okay, no problem. The loud prayers. But the sirri prayers, I've prayed about 15, 20 sirri prayers here, the quiet prayers while I've been here. 15, 20 sirri prayers I've prayed. Not a single prayer have I been able to complete the Fatiha. I have not been able to complete the Fatiha. The imam, may Allah forgive us all, yeah? Bro, and obviously an imam is representative of the people. The people are the ones who don't want the prayer to be long. I have not been able to get yani, to the end of Wulad Dhalin yet. Bro, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. It's a madness. When it kicks off, it's going to kick off. I'm sure you can, Fizza. Okay. I'm pretty sure that you can get used to this class timing. I could as well. I could also get used to this setting. I could get used to this weather. The weather, by the way, is insane. It's 20 like degrees, 21, whatever. Obviously, northern Pakistan. Oh, the northern Pakistan thing is coming together. Think about the 28th, 29th kind of as a departure. But hopefully, it's going to be. Yeah, it is the same in Turkey. And that's because it's a Hanafi thing. It's an actual madhab position. Whatever. Now, do we have the cover in the khutbah the same way in salah? Can I loosen up my scarf during the khutbah? If you can't be seen, absolutely you can. If you can't be seen, you're not in front of the people, then you can. Umar says, what about those that go on their phones as the imam is giving khutbah? It happens frequently here in York, unfortunately. Bro, Umar, where does it not happen? Tell me that. And how do you stop this? You've got to keep reminding people and how, about how serious it is. And you've got to call people out. I don't know about hikmah anymore, bro. How stupid is it, man? How embarrassing is that behavior? Like, would they ever do that in any other setting is the real question. Why such disrespect, Yani, to this? Why such disrespect? So, anyway. Yeah. By the way, Yaza, just on the whole Pakistan thing, I haven't had a time to get in social media. I will try maybe today or maybe tomorrow, because I've got a few things to sort out. But if I do, then I'll post the poster. But livedeen.com or .org, I think it is. And I'm going to be doing a session in Islamabad. It'll be an afternoon session at Al Huda. I want to say like 12:30 odd local time. Just giving you a heads up. And then the big one is going to be in Karachi on Sunday the 17th. I want to say the 17th of November. Sunday the 17th of November. Make sure that you tell all of the folks that are there, thereabouts, to come and benefit. You know, it's nice that we get those that can understand English to come out to these events. Make sure you speak to fan members and force them to go. And what more? Why am I faffing about for? We should force them to go. Now, the next question is, Protector's House is going to be online, but there's going to be the live sessions and then the Q&A sessions as well. So there'll be some webinars beforehand, and then there'll be thingy. And those that are currently subscribed, you're in. Those that have been thingy, you get the updated content. This is when Protected House goes live, guys. Make sure you tell every single person that you know that has not done it before. Sorry, when I say not done it before, meaning doesn't have the online one in their student account, whatever. If you purchased it before on online, don't purchase it again. Don't get done over. Yeah, you're going to be it's in your account, and the new Q&A sessions will be added to that. You're in Faisalabad on 24th November. Yeah, no, I'm going to be in Saudi on the 24th. Fareal, sorry, you asked about LP. Yes, LP will be there on Thursday. If you wish to attend, then it's going to be kind of like a closed one for the volunteers and the kind of like the volunteers. There's a lot of them, but absolutely, you should. Just message Protect This House. Iram is a class which is just a very, very important class that I teach online. It's about the family and parenting and things. Nadia and whatever, just keep an eye on the Telegram groups. We'll share the link when it comes. It's just very important that we tell as many people as possible, because I do think that is probably the most important class that I teach because of the fundamentals that are there. So yeah, I was just going to say, Fareal, that if you just keep in touch with the Live Deen people, then we will try to make sure that you get the address. But it is, I think, as it stands, a private address, meaning an individual address. It's not open to the public, but maybe you can come with one of the volunteers, inshallah. Does the imam have to raise his voice in the khutbah? So many people in our part of the world come out complaining that the khatib was scolding, and yes, they are not your practicing devoted Muslims. Yeah, so obviously we will speak about this in the next week's session. But yeah, the sunnah is absolutely to raise the voice. Whilst we do recognize that there is a negativity associated with people that just kind of shout, I do think there is a difference. And it's not all to be shouted, you know? It's not like, you know, 0 to 100 from the beginning to the very, very end. That then turns into just like a madness. But in terms of, shouting is actually a sunnah. And being scolded, the problem is that, again, it goes back to the whole, that toxic positivity. People just want to be yani mollycoddled day and night and not expecting ever to be cussed or called out or whatever. We should be the exact yani, the exact opposite. We should be always encouraging and embracing any opportunity or any chance. Qamar is there remembering my khutbah at Eid Salah, and which I don't think I did that much cussing and shouting, whatever, whatnot, but clearly went down very badly amongst people. They were not happy with it. Ideal length time is difficult, but it should be short. And short should be like 10 minutes, 5, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes, something like that. It should be short. 10 minutes is the approximate length of time. If there are any other questions on outside the subject, this is what I can do right now as we wait for the thing. I don't want to start this this new section, because then it's going to be, there's quite a bit of things here that that I don't want to get in the way of. What else did we need to discuss or speak about? It's rare, isn't it, where we're just sitting there, just sitting around, got nothing to talk about. Weirdest feeling ever. ما خودم از صبر کو لگا اوس نه اذان نه اسنا دا ولی ها ختم شه نه نه ولی ته وسوار چ توکی اذان یو نکونو I by the way telegram use is really tough. It's banned here in Pakistan and all other kind of things are, you know, lots of pabandi on at the moment. And you've got to use a VPN, and it's a mission to get these VPNs working. And it slows you down. Although, by the way, guys, I think that it was a really smooth, was it smooth? In thingy? The transmission, I think, was really smooth, clear, sound was good, right? Everything, I think, was really, really good. And the reason for that is because I used I got a package yesterday. And the Zong here is really quite smooth. And yes, Dina, for quite a few weeks, I think 3 weeks, it will be in this kind of timing. The third week is going to be a little bit later. So alhamdulillah that it was the speed on the mobile is actually quite good and the quality is quite good. Whereas we also had this Wi-Fi thing fitted here. They've got fiber now in the villages. Can you believe they've got fiber optic cables in the villages, but very unstable. And a lot of kind of nakhre and a lot of bakwas going on. You know, so... So, yalla khair. Hooksho. So, Emma, first of all, tell us where you are. Are you back yet or not, man? Well, you must be back if you're speaking to Zaki. I heard Nusayb is really, really happy out there. Why did the companions not pray janazah for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a congregation in the masjid instead of one by one in Aisha's house, radiallahu ta'ala anha? You got to understand that everything around the janazah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was stress, difficulty, stress and difficulty and kind of uncertainty. Whenever I get asked any question about this kind of stuff, I just remember the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha. If I knew what I knew now, then we would have washed him. Imagine that. Imagine from the most knowledgeable of all of them, right? If I knew what I knew now, then the wives of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have done it, and not Ali radiallahu anhu and Fadl, for example. It was not a very clear situation. It was not very, you get what I'm saying? You know, Emma, when I was coming here to Pakistan, I came via the route of the visitor park. Highly underrated place, you know that. And I know that Zaki's interested in it, and you know my Zaki as well. Oh, Zakaria is also into that whole thing. Alaykum salam, Amina. What is the ruling on the Shia praying in the masjid? It's permissible. Absolutely no problem. Can I ask a general, if you're a doctor and you get patient's blood, is it valid to pray in these clothes? I think that it's not good. Basically, I don't believe that blood is najis. But that's a minority position. And the majority do consider it. And therefore, we should go along that kind of... away, and so therefore just it doesn't need to be washed properly. Scrubs especially is that material that can be washed off quite quickly, isn't it? So I would wash it, I would make the effort to wipe it off, or maybe to remove the scrubs is probably easier sometimes. Can I read Tahitul Wudu if I've done wudu properly and not just masa? Yes, you can. It is the wudu is not just the pray two rak'ah of wudu is not based upon a condition that it has to be washing of the feet. There'll be no LP in Islamabad, Fiza. No, there won't be. And finally, we started the Friday Salah. We thought we were on the first rak'ah. It turned out it was the second rak'ah. And the mic had cut off of the first without us realizing it. We'll pray Dhuhr after that separately instead. Is that correct? I think that's okay. It's not great. Is it correct, not correct, is a difficult question. But it's okay for that to happen, because what else would you have done? Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. I'm pretty sure that you can hear the adhan, which give me all of about 60 seconds to make it to the masjid before I lose out in salah entirely. Fajazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu fikum wa subhanakallahumma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa astaghfiruka allahumma wa atubu ilayk wa assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.